Hi, and welcome to One Little Candle, a place where genuine believers are encouraged, empowered, and inspired to be the light that God calls us to be by contending for the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to His people so that we may pass down undefiled the truth of God's infallible word to the next generation. And in case you're thinking that you can't make a difference in your own little corner of the world, yes, you can, because all it takes is one little candle. I'm your host, Rebecca Berschwinger. Thanks for joining me for today's episode. One Little Candle is a member of the Christian podcast community, where you'll not only find great podcasts like this, but you'll also find great podcasts such as these.
Andrew Rappaport's Rap Report is a podcast providing biblical interpretations and applications. It is a ministry of striving for eternity and part of the Christian podcast community. We provide a biblical view of cultural events, discuss how to apply God's word to the Christian life, address issues that concern the church, and we even take some time to offer a correct understanding of those commonly misinterpreted passages of Scripture. You will hear from great guests like Justin Peters, Todd Friel, J. Warren Wallace, and Gabe Hughes. Andrew has the Rap Report Daily, which is a 2-minute Monday through Friday podcast, and then the longer Rap Report podcast for more content. Subscribe to both today by searching for Rap Report on any podcast app, spelled R-A-P-P Report, or click the podcast link at strivingforeternity.org.
Hi, I'm Sharon Wilharm, host of All God's Women podcast and internationally syndicated radio show. I'd love to invite you to join me as we bring to life the stories of women in the Bible and discover their relevance for our lives today. Listen at allgodswomen.com, your favorite podcast platform, or at christianpodcastcommunity.org.
So check it out at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Hello, and how are you today? I pray that this day finds you doing well. I'd like to talk a little bit about something real quick here before I get on with the episode. And what I'd like to talk about is the horrible, tragic shooting at the Covenant Christian School in Nashville, Tennessee. I had recorded the reading of the book before this happened, so I just want to touch upon this a little bit. Obviously, this is just a horrible thing. As far as I'm concerned, this is most definitely a hate crime, although our lawmakers on the left are dragging their feet at declaring this a hate crime. Obviously, had this shooting taken place in a synagogue or a mosque or at an all-black school, it would have quickly been condemned as a hate crime, and rightfully so. But with Christians, unfortunately, the treatment is... I think a little different. This school was purposely targeted, and common sense dictates that, of course, you know, Christians, and I'm sure as most Christians, those who truly are Christians, they do not go along with the delusion that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man, or any of these transgender or LGBTQ ideologies. So that being said, this is a tragedy, what this woman did. This woman, you know, had been a student at the school. That doesn't mean that she was a Christian. Obviously, she was not. She was mentally ill by the sounds of it. And, you know, the sad part is everyone wants to talk about the guns, get rid of the guns. No one seems to ever ask the question, why are they pulling the trigger? Because that's the problem. An evil heart, hell-bent, and I'd say she was hell-bent on causing harm and, you know, killing, and gun or no gun, people will carry it out. You know, there are other means of mass destruction or killing people, a bomb being one of them, unfortunately, with probably even more deaths. But we know we have sin in this world, and we have the problem of evil hearts. But I just want to say prayers, of course. Please, let's keep these people still in prayer. You know, they lost 6 people at the Covenant Christian School. They lost 3 adults, a janitor, the head of the school and a substitute teacher and three precious children. And one of those children was the daughter of the senior pastor there. So let's please keep them and the woman who did this. Let's keep her family in our prayers as well, because as evil a thing as she did, there are still people that knew and loved her. And so they are also suffering an immense form of grief. But I just want to put some hope out there, because here's the thing, here's the bottom line, and that is this. Those that were killed, I'm assuming these adults were Christians, they were in a Christian school. I mean, maybe, maybe not, but let's assume they probably were. Unlike the shooter who went down murdering people and had been living as a transgender, I think you could pretty much say that she did not know the Lord. And so there is no hope for this woman. We know where she is now spending an eternity. And it's horrible. And the people killed, okay, they are now filled with joy. They are in heaven with the Lord. And if given the chance to come back down to this earth, we know what their answer would be. It would be no. Of course, we have those that are left behind, parents, grandparents, siblings, friends, family, with their grief, of course, and their loss. But again, the hope that they have is if they too know the Lord, their separation from their loved one is not forever. Okay? It's not forever. They will be reunited with their loved ones for eternity. Their loved ones, they're not a part of their past. They are a part of their future now. So we have that hope, thanks to Jesus coming down here and dying on that cross for our sins, taking God's wrath upon him so that we could be free from our sins and free to spend an eternity with him in heaven when our time here on earth is done. So that's a hope that unfortunately this shooter did not have, and many people do not have. So she, yes, she killed their earthly body, but you know, she did not harm their souls. Okay? She couldn't touch that. And they are still very much alive. They're just not alive here on this earth, but they are alive up in heaven with the Lord and celebrating and worshiping and at total peace right now. So let's be mindful to give God thanks for that. And the fact that as Christians, no matter what people do to us, and we don't know why God allows things the way he does, but he is God. He's on the mountaintop. We are in the valley. He sees and knows the big picture, and it will all be for his glory. And he will wipe every tear from believers' eyes one day, and there will be no more sorrow, no more suffering. And that day, I think, is quickly, quickly coming for us all. When you look at the madness in this world and the depravity and just how low society has sunk. But just hang on to that and cling to that as you pray for these people too, and that they will realize that too. And God will always be reminding them of that as they are going through this terrible loss and grief that we can't even begin to imagine what it must be like, but that hope will always be there with them. So yeah, I just wanted to say that this has been very, very heartbreaking. Such a horrible, horrible hate crime. But okay, so I am going to now air the episode here, chapter 2 of The Calvary Road by Roy Hessian. And this chapter is one of my favorites, called Cups Running Over. Enjoy. Hello, and how are you today? Thank you so much for joining me. Welcome back to Chapter 2 of The Calvary Road by Roy Hessian. If you have not listened to Chapter 1, I would encourage you to please, please go back and listen to the first part before you listen to this one. It really helps if you do hear these in order. But anyway, I hope that last week you were able to take the time and really dive into what I call this spiritually meaty, sometimes hard to swallow, but delicious food. I pray that you've been praying about this and that this is helping you to move forward in your life and to really conquer any strongholds that are in your life, because I really believe this is the book to do that, provided you come with the proper heart. And as we talked about before we did chapter one last week, coming with the right heart is one that is humble and open and willing to be made uncomfortable, willing to crucify your flesh, maybe hear things you don't want to hear, knowing that we need God's truths, whether they're difficult or easy to hear. And I guess you could say a heart that's open to conviction. And encouragement, though, because you get plenty of encouragement from this book as well, I believe. So here we are, chapter 2, Cups Running Over. Brokenness, however, is but the beginning of a revival. Revival itself is being absolutely filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and that is victorious living. If we were asked this moment if we were filled with the Holy Spirit, how many of us would dare to answer yes? Revival is when we can say yes at any moment of the day. It is not egotistic to say so, for filling to overflowing is utterly and completely God's work. It is all of grace. All we have to do is present our empty, broken self and let Him fill and keep filled. Andrew Murray says, just as water ever seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God finds you abased and empty, His glory and power flow in. The picture that has made things simple and clear to so many of us is that of the human heart as a cup, which we hold out to Jesus, longing that He might fill it with the water of life. Jesus is pictured as bearing the golden water pot with the water of life. As He passes by, He looks into our cup, and if it is clean, He fills to overflowing with the water of life. And as Jesus is always passing by, the cup can be always running over. That is something of what David meant when he said, "My cup runneth over." This is revival. You and I, full to overflowing with blessing ourselves and to others, with a constant peace in our hearts. People imagine that dying to self makes one miserable, but it is just the opposite. It is the refusal to die to self that makes one miserable. The more we know of death with Him, the more we shall know of His life in us, and so the more of real peace and joy. His life, too, will overflow through us to lost souls in a real concern for their salvation and to our fellow Christians in a deep desire for their blessing. I love this analogy. I don't know about you. Only one thing prevents Jesus from filling our cups as He passes by, and that is sin in one of its thousand forms. The Lord Jesus does not fill dirty cups. Anything that springs from self, however small it may be, is sin. Self-energy or self-complacency in service is sin. Self-pity in trials or difficulties, self-seeking in business or Christian work, self-indulgence in one's spare time, sensitiveness, touchiness, resentment, and self-defense when we are hurt or injured by others, self-consciousness, reserve, worry, fear, all spring from self and all are sin and make our cups unclean. Now, there is a footnote here to what I just read because I myself was like, I don't know, isn't that being a little harsh? Like all these things are sinful? So here's the footnote to that. Some may be inclined to question whether it is right to call such things as self-consciousness, reserve, and fear sins. Call them infirmities, disabilities, temperamental weakness, if you will, some have said, but not sins. To do so would get us into bondage, people claim. The reverse, however, is true. If these things are not sins, then we must put up with them for the rest of our lives. There is no deliverance. But if these and other things like them are indeed sins, then there is a fountain for sin, and we may experience cleansing and deliverance from them, if we put them immediately under His precious blood the moment we are conscious of them. And they are sins. Their source is unbelief and an inverted form of pride, and they have hindered and hidden him times without number. But all of them, these sins, were put into that other cup, which the Lord Jesus shrank from momentarily in Gethsemane, but which he drank to the dregs at Calvary, the cup of our sin. And let me just touch upon this word dregs for a minute, if any of you are unclear as to what it means. According to the dictionary, the dregs of a liquid are the last drops left at the bottom of a container, together with any solid bits that have sunk to the bottom. So Jesus, he drank it all. There were no bits left in the bottom, even the tiniest, tiniest of sins, okay? Jesus Christ paid for that, took it upon himself at Calvary. All right, goes on to say, and if we allow him to show us what is in our cups and then give it to him, he will cleanse them in the precious blood that still flows for sin. That does not mean mere cleansing from the guilt of sin, nor even from the stain of sin, though, thank God, both of these are true, but from the sin itself, whatever it may be. And as he cleanses our cups, so he fills them to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. And we are able daily to avail ourselves of that precious blood. Suppose you have let the Lord Jesus cleanse your cup and have trusted him to fill it to overflowing. Then something comes along, a touch of envy or temper. What happens? Your cup becomes dirty and it ceases to overflow. And if we are constantly being defeated in this way, then our cup is never overflowing. I don't know about you, but when I'm standing there with my cup, I don't want Jesus to pass me by. I want Jesus to fill my cup to overflowing. So if we are to know continuous revival, we must learn the way to keep our cups clean. It is never God's will that a revival should cease and be known in history as the revival of this or that year. When that happens, it is due to only one thing, sin, just those little sins that the devil drops into our cup. But if we will go back to Calvary and learn afresh the power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse moment by moment from the beginnings of sin, then we have learnt the secret of cups constantly cleansed and constantly overflowing. The moment you are conscious of that touch of envy, criticism, irritability, whatever it is, ask Jesus to cover it with his precious blood and cleanse it away, and you will find the reaction gone, your joy and peace restored, and your cup running over. And the more you trust the blood of Jesus in this way, the less will you even have these reactions. But cleansing is only possible when we have first been broken before God on the point concerned. Suppose we are irritated by certain traits in someone. Is it not enough just to take our reactions of irritation to Calvary? We must first be broken, that is, we must yield to God over the whole question and accept that person and his ways as his will for us. Then we are able to take our wrong reaction to Jesus, knowing that his blood will cleanse away our sin. And when we have been cleansed from sin, let us not keep mourning over it. Let us not be occupied with ourselves. But let us look up to our victorious Lord and praise him that he is still victorious. There is one simple but all-inclusive guide the Word of God gives to regulate our walk with Jesus and to make us to know when sin has come in. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Everything that disturbs the peace of God in our hearts is sin. No matter how small it is, and no matter how little like sin it may at first appear to be, this peace is to rule in our hearts, or a more literal translation, be the referee in our hearts. When the referee blows his whistle at a football match, the game has to stop. A foul has been committed. When we lose our peace, God's referee in our hearts has blown his whistle. Let us stop immediately, ask God to show us what is wrong, put by faith the sin he shows us under the blood of Jesus, and then peace will be restored and we shall go on our way with our cups running over. If, however, God does not give us his peace, it will be because we are not really broken. Perhaps we have yet to say sorry to somebody else as well to God, or perhaps we still feel it is the other person's fault. But if we have lost our peace, it is obvious whose fault it is. We do not lose peace with God over another person's sin, but only over our own. And boy, that's so important. Remember this. I'm going to say it again. We do not lose peace with God over another person's sin, but only over our own. God wants to show us our reactions, and only when we are willing to be cleansed there will we have his peace. Oh, what a simple but searching thing it is to be ruled by the peace of God, none other than the Holy Spirit himself. Former selfish ways, which we never bothered about, are now shown to us, and we cannot walk in them without the referee blowing his whistle. Grumbling, bossiness, carelessness, down to the smallest thing are all revealed as sins when we are prepared to let our days be ruled by the peace of God. So I would say at this point, the author is basically saying our hearts and our minds are very, very tender to conviction. And that's what we want, right? We want very soft hearts when it comes to conviction. No hard hearts, no seared consciences. Many times a day and over the smallest things, we shall have to avail ourselves of the cleansing blood of Jesus, and we shall find ourselves walking the way of brokenness as never before. But Jesus will be manifested in all his loveliness and grace in that brokenness. Many of us, however, have neglected the referee's whistle so often and for so long that we have ceased to hear it. Days follow days, and we feel we have little need of cleansing and no occasion of being broken. In that condition, we are usually in a worse state than we ever imagine. It will need a great hunger for restored fellowship with God to possess our hearts before we will be willing to cry to God to show us where the blood of Jesus must be applied. He will show us, to begin with, just one thing. And it will be our obedience and brokenness on that one thing that will be the first step into revival for us. And that is the end of chapter 2, Cups Running Over. Again, onelittlecandlepodcast.com. You will have the PDF to download for the study guide questions to this book. Be that one little candle this week, please. Study this open heart, open mind. Let's make sure, because once our conscience starts to become seared or our heart hardens, we fall under deception. And the thing about deception is it's deceptive, okay? Yeah, real tricky, real sneaky. So please prayerfully meditate on this. Bring before God any strongholds that may be in your life, whether it's bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, grumbling, a discontent, anger. I don't know if I said that already, but pride. Pride's a real big one. Bring these before God. Ask him to bring them before you, because they're often in those hidden corners of our heart. And when it's something hidden in the corner of our heart, and we know our hearts are deceitful above all things, who can truly know it? God does. But when we have that condition, our cup is dirty and Jesus will not fill it. Okay, so song for today is by Will Edwards. It's on YouTube. It's called My Cup Overflows, and the link will be in the podcast description. So have a listen to that. Hopefully that encourages you even further. Okay, social media. You can follow me on Instagram at One Little Candle Podcast or check out my website, onelittlecandlepodcast.com. There not only will you find the PDF for the study guide for this book that we are reading, but also if you'd like to check out other things, all the other guests I've had, their bios and links to their ministries and links to helpful ministries, and there's a blog there. So check it out and subscribe if you'd like as well. That would be great. And listen, if you like this podcast, if it's helpful to you, please, I know not all podcast platforms allow you to, but please take the time to leave a review. Reviews are really helpful to me. And loveandtruthbooks.com, as I always like to share with people, I have a website, free resources for parents to battle against this culture that is trying to destroy our children from within. And I'm talking about in the areas of gender and marriage. First and foremost, God's design for marriage and our permanently fixed gender. But I do have some books on that, and they are free. They're in PDF form. So read them over the computer, over your phone, download them, whatever you'd like to do. But they are free for you. And I just came out with my newest book on Israel for youngsters. So please check that out as well. And of course, I'd like to give a shout out to listeners in other parts of the world. And this week, I would like to give a shout out and say thank you very much to my listeners in Peru and Nicaragua. Thank you for listening to One Little Candle Podcast. Be those lights, my friends, in these other parts of the world. The darkness is everywhere. Be that one little candle. Bloom right where you are planted. I pray all is well with you there. And of course, if you'd like to reach out and say hello, I would love it. You can always find me on Instagram, as I said, at One Little Candle Podcast, or email me at candlestogether@gmail.com. So thank you very much for my listeners everywhere, of course, right here in this country and Canada as well, which obviously are my biggest countries, U.S., Canada, and the United Kingdom. But I love to, you know, all these other little countries that pop up in my stats too. I do love to reach out to them too. So you are loved. You are appreciated. Okay, so next week, chapter 3 is called The Way of Fellowship. So we will be diving into that. And if you have any thoughts or comments so far on this book, please, again, reach out to me. Let me know what they are. Love to hear how this is affecting you, and hopefully in a good way, really bringing you closer to the Lord and away from yourself, because that is really how we need to be as Christians. And it's hard. I'm not saying any of this is easy. Trust me, it's a struggle. This to me isn't a book you read one time and put down. I have to refer to it time and again, because as life happens and things come up and our sinful nature likes to rise up, you don't realize, again, that deceit slips in so easily, and you don't realize that you've kind of backslidden again, you know, when it comes to being self-absorbed, having yourself come at the forefront in your Christian walk. So this is a good book to have on hand. That's why I would highly suggest to anyone to purchase it. It's a small book and it's very inexpensive. I don't know if you can get it in ebook form or not. I guess maybe I should, for those of you that like your ebooks, we'll check it out. But yes, next week, chapter 3, The Way of Fellowship. All right, my friends, until next time, you take care and God bless.